work in hospitals are truly amazing people. They are so nice and supportive. It makes you suspicious, right? Are they stealing the drugs? They're a little too excited to be around sick people in pajamas. And when I say sick, I'm not talking about the positive slang, right? Because that's part of our language, right? That jacket is sick! But you don't want a medical professional to be like, your test results are sick! I mean, let me clarify, you're dying. It's gotta be hard to work in a hospital. That hospital lighting, everyone looks sick in that hospital lighting. I walked in, they're like, we should get you to the ER. I'm just here to see my wife. Well, you have jaundice. See, compared, oh my gosh, I have jaundice too. We all have jaundice. When my wife would nap, I'd go to the cafeteria. Hospitals have the most cutting-edge medical equipment, but they're still serving food like it's Shawshank Redemption. How about selling an MRI machine and getting a pasta station?
Ooh, baby, do you know?
WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed, a civic media station. I'm Don Rosen. I was so looking forward to this hour. Pete Schwab is here. Pete Schwab is on every night from 7 until 9 here on WRJN and the entire civic media network. He's everywhere. You cover the entire state of Wisconsin. That's kind of neat. Thank you, Pete, for waking up early. I know you had to set your alarm. And get ready and throw cold,
hey,
and throw cold water in your face to get up in the morning. You know, my dad only did that once to me in my life. I don't know why. Oh, I know. I remember what it was. My brother and I, our job, we had one job, and that was take the garbage pails out. This is before they had those garbage pails that hook onto the back of the trucks. And my father had this giant galvanized garbage pail that weighed a ton, and it took two people to carry it out there. And he always wanted the garbage pails out the night before, just to make sure. His whole life was based on making sure that garbage was collected. So one night, my brother and I decided to go to bed and not take the garbage pails out. We'll do it in the morning, maybe. Maybe. So my father woke up, and he used to get up at 4:30 in the morning because he had to go to, he worked in Brooklyn, and we lived on Long Island. So he had to get out there and quick, you know. And he did a look out the window. The garbage pails weren't there. And he took a cup of water and poured it on my face and my brother's face. He said, get out there and get the garbage pails out. We went out in our underpants. No time to get dressed. He wanted, the bed was soaked with water because he poured water on us. He said, get out there and get those garbage pails out. And we, out in the 4:30 in the morning, getting the garbage pails
that
out in our underwear.
Brutal.
But you know what? I'll tell you something. Those garbage pails were out there every Friday night before the Saturday morning pickup. What do you think of that?
They picked them up on Saturday?
We had two garbage pickups a week. Yeah, one was on Saturday morning and one was during the week. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know they used to have mail delivery on twice a day at one point? Do you know in England they had mail delivery 12 times a day? That's every hour because they didn't deliver it in the middle of the night. That's every hour. We used to have mail delivery in the morning and the late in the afternoon when I was a kid.
No one is important enough to get their mail delivered 12 times a day.
Yeah, but you got to remember that was the only way you get your mail. I mean, there was no internet. There was that was it. It had to be paper. Can I tell you, can I get something off my back real quick here? So on Friday, I hate to, because you're the guest, you should be talking, not me. But on Friday, I got an email from my medical doctor, one of my doctors, and it said your payment is past due. And I said, gee, you know, I never in my, that's why I have my credits in the 800s, because I pay my bills as soon as I get them. And I'm looking through my checkbook. No, I don't find the payment for them. And I look through all the bills, the old bills. I save everything. Didn't see it. So I call up the person. She was very nice. And she says, yes, we sent you out the payment to your portal on whatever date it was last month. I said, on my portal? No. I get paper bills. I've been getting paper bills for years. She goes, well, we switched over. I said, well, you can't just do that and not tell me about it. And by the way, put it back.
Right.
I want paper. She says, so you want, I said, paper. It's the way I said it. I said, don't you, how can you switch in the middle and all of a sudden tell me, you know, I don't check online for bills. I said, now I'm late and I don't want to be late. She goes, well, we'll get the paper one out to you and put back paper. They just switch it. Now my bank every month sends me a thing. We're switching you to paperless unless you check this. And that annoys me because I like paper. That's what I want. I'm an old man. I want paper the way it used to be. Don't try to switch
me.
Hey,
okay. Hey, Don, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Since you kind of steered us here. Now, maybe no one has been able to answer this for me. I'm not a finance guy. My credit is probably not quite in the 800s, but whatever. However, why does your credit get dinged? Why does your credit go down?
Okay, now I did
when
talk.
Someone does a credit check.
Okay, I did talk to somebody who knows all about credit. He used to work at Equifax. And he said, there's no rhyme or reason why things go up and down. Because if, like, I paid off my mortgage and my credit went down a little bit. And I asked him, this is when I asked him, he said, well, because now you got rid of a debt that you pay every month. So now it went down. He said, there's no rhyme or
sense.
Yeah, you can't point to one individual thing why it goes up and down. He said, and I worked at Equifax, and I can't figure out why credit goes up and down. Obviously, if you don't pay your bills at all, it's really going to plummet. But for somebody like me,
that
who pays, I pay every single bill on time. I never am late. The credit card companies have my picture hanging up there because they say, this is the way it should be. This is the man you should emulate. But it goes up and down. And he said, I don't know why.
But
I can't.
It doesn't make sense. Like, if you have money to buy a car or house, and they want to check your credit,
right,
that should not bring your credit score down.
But it does.
That makes no sense. No one has been able to answer that for me. Somebody's getting rich off that, I guarantee it, somehow.
Now, when I go to my wife's bank, and they say, well, do you want to know what your credit score is? That doesn't affect it. But when you check it, like when you're taking out a car loan or any other loan, it makes it go down. I can't understand why it would make it go down. But it does. It does. And you're right. There's no rhyme or reason for it. And the guy from who used to work for Equifax says he worked there for years, and he can't figure out why they go up and down. So, how do you like AT&T?
I've actually asked that. Yeah, I've asked that on my show, and no one. I said, if you know, and you're a finance guy, and we got a couple. I have no ideas, and I should know that. Like, I love when people text in, too, to tell you they don't know. It's like a friend of mine on Facebook a few weeks ago. People were talking about a movie, and he said, I didn't see it, or I don't like it. I didn't like it. And a couple people said, you know, I loved it. I didn't like it. One guy says, I haven't seen it yet. Like, you don't have to say that.
He
wants to be part of the conversation, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, then what are you telling me you don't know for? I only want people who know. If you know, give me a call. If you don't know, just mind your business and move on. Scroll past this show. We don't want you here anymore. If you're that stupid, I don't want you listening. Okay, I got a whole bunch of things to talk about with you. The new Godzilla. Yeah. Are you a Godzilla fan at all? That's a no.
Overly, but I don't have a hater either.
That pause spoke volumes when I asked you if you're a Godzilla fan, and there was a pause. Anyway, so the new Godzilla movie opened up.
I liked Minus One. I liked that.
I didn't see it. My wife wouldn't go see it with me, and by the time I decided to get my butt out there to go watch it by myself, I wasn't there anymore. I didn't see it. I heard it was fantastic. I have Godzilla movies. I have Rodan, Mothra movies at home. I have Ghidorah. I have all these movies. but I didn't see that one, and that's the only one that won an Academy Award I didn't get to see.
But yeah.
It was good,
yeah,
huh?
No, you got to fly solo, Don. You got to get out there, man.
I did, but I watched the movie she wanted to watch. She said, well, go watch it by yourself. And I feel kind of creepy. I used to go to the movies by myself all the time. Now I feel creepy doing it. I don't know why, but I used to go all the time.
Just don't wear a trench coat.
Yeah, and don't go to a kid's movie by yourself.
Right. Don't go see Barney and yeah. Don't wear a trench coat. Those are my rules.
So anyway, you liked it? You like Godzilla?
I liked Minus One, yeah.
Now, it was in Japanese with subtitles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they did release it as... They released it twice. Once as Godzilla Minus One and Godzilla Minus One Minus Color. Which, did you see the color version or the black and white version?
I saw the color version.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, they had. Huh. They released it for 2 weeks as Godzilla Minus One Minus Color. And you know where the name comes from, right? You know how they got the name Minus One?
No.
Okay, what happened was, and I've told this story.
Oh, I did hear this.
After World War II, Japan was leveled. Their morale and everything was at zero. The country was at zero. And right after the atomic bomb leveled Japan at zero, along came Godzilla to take it one step below zero, minus one. And that's where it came from. Godzilla okay. just took it one step.
Jeez.
So anyway, I've got the top Godzilla movies here, in case you're interested. Let's see, got a break coming up. You know how that
sure.
works. So let's quick get them in here. Number one was Shin Godzilla. This was another Japanese Godzilla made in 2016. Then Godzilla, the original from 1954. Now, there were two versions in 1954, one with Raymond Burr and one without Raymond Burr. They wanted to give it a little Americanized feel to it, so they stuck him in there. Number three was Godzilla versus Destoroyah. Destoroyah was another monster they stuck in there, and it was excellent. Number four was the one you saw, Godzilla Minus One, and the worst one at 34. There were 34 Godzilla movies, not counting the current one, by the way. Godzilla 1998. That's the one with Matthew Broderick. That was a terrible one. It was just awful. He looked like a lizard you find crawling on a wall in Florida. It was awful.
Right.
But anyway,
that was the worst one ever?
Yeah, the worst one ever. The one with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible. Even though Son of Godzilla...
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, Son of Godzilla was terrible. You talk about the man in the rubber suit monster movies, Gorgo was number one. The British movie Gorgo. That was a good one. We've got to talk about parents. We're going to talk about celebrities, movie stars. I got all this stuff coming up to talk with you, including a series. Did you see that series, Quiet on the Set? Have you seen that?
No, I have not. Right. That one, the Nickelodeon thing?
Yeah. We'll talk about that. All right, Pete Schwab, my guest.
No, I have not.
Hold on there, Pete. It's 7:20. WRJN Pete Schwabba every night, 7 to 9 o'clock on the Civic Media Network, including WRJN. Looking for a cloudy day today. Late afternoon showers with a high near 42. Showers tonight. Lows around 38. Snow possible tomorrow. Really get my hands on that groundhog. His days are done. Highs near 38 tomorrow. Right now it's sunny. It is beautiful out there. 39 degrees. Just gorgeous with the sun coming up over Lake Michigan this morning. Just wonderful. All right, Pete, we're going to talk about celebrities here. Before we do that, let's talk about comedians. Now, I know you can't tell me who your favorite comedian is because you have so many comedians on the show as guests. It wouldn't be fair. But I'm going to ask you, who are some of your favorite comedians?
One of my favorites is a guy named Brian Regan.
I don't know if you know Brian. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, he's probably my top five all time, but he's great. I had the pleasure of working with him for 2 weeks in a row back in like 1995. We did St. Louis together and then a club outside Chicago. He's phenomenal and such a good guy. I love one of your hometown guys, Dave Attell. I worked with him years ago too. Great joke writer. Very funny guy. And then, I hate to be that guy, but the classics too. I love Richard Pryor. I love George Carlin. You know, I used to love Bill Cosby, you know, but, so yeah, I've got a ton of them, and a lot of guys here that I started with in Chicago, that are still working. Mike Toomey, my buddy, Jimmy Pardo, there's just so many great comics, and there's so many great comics, Don, who didn't know how to market themselves and it never became household names, that are some of the guys that make me laugh the hardest. They're great joke writers. They're great in the room, you know, adding jokes to scripts and stuff like that. Laughter's important, buddy.
You know, and I have some new favorites. Now, I start off each segment, each hour, top of the hour and bottom of the hour, with a comedian. And it's difficult because you got to get a clean comedian for radio. You can't have any dirty words on the radio,
yeah.
Just the way it is. So, and I don't want to use any ones that are bleeped out because that still implies some language problem, and I want that. I want it nice and clean. The two cleanest I came up with are Brian Regan and also Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. Jim Gaffigan is funny. I love Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, Gaffigan's great.
Now, the other one.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I spent 10 days in New York City with Jim in 1997. He and I both got cast in a VH1 pilot. It was called Laugh Tracks, and Jim was kind of already an old pro, and it was the first thing I had ever booked. I was kind of a little weirded out by the whole experience, but it was really interesting and really fun, and Jim was pretty cool. He kind of showed me around New York a little bit, and that was the first time I ever met him or ever even heard of him, and he's gone on to become... Well, Jim Gaffigan, he's great. And as you said, he's very clean. And in my experience, he was a great guy.
I think the funniest comedians are the ones you can relate to when they talk. Like, oh, I've Absolutely. Been through that. You know, there's a guy, he's very filthy, but he's funny. He's a British comedian named Jimmy. What is his name? Jimmy, I can't think of his last name. He's British. But you can't even begin to put it on the radio. I'll think of his name in a few minutes here. The older I get, the less I remember. Jimmy, oh, man, he is so funny, but no way I can put him on the radio. Rocky LaPointe, there's a guy who I found is very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Rocky's great, sure.
Now, is Dennis
great
Regan...
Guy, I love him.
Is Dennis Regan related to Brian Regan? Dennis
he
Regan...
is. They're brothers, and I remember when Dennis started in... They both came out of Florida, and people were like, oh, you got to see Dennis. He's funnier than Brian. And I was like, what? And Dennis was a really good stand-up. I think mostly now he writes. I don't even know if he does stand-up anymore. I've never actually met Dennis, so I couldn't really tell you there.
Very funny. And I loved putting the comedy on in the morning. But I listened to it the day before. Then I listened to it again today to make sure I didn't miss anything. Because I don't want to take a chance.
Now, we've done that.
Yeah, the service I use generally bleeps out the stuff. But occasionally something will come, and I want to stay away from certain topics because it's a morning show. People should, you know, you want to wake up
sure.
feeling good. You don't want to wake up feeling, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. That's just awful.
I think Brian is so great because like you said, he's clean, but everything he talks about, not everything, but most things. Is about feeling like an idiot, and we've all been there. You know, you can't weigh the UPS package because he doesn't know what girth means. It's just, he's so great.
There's one where he goes up to this woman and he says, well, congratulations, you know, you're pregnant. And the audience starts growling. No. He says, well, I know now. You know, don't ever say that to a woman. Oh, you're pregnant. Unless you know for sure that she's pregnant. And he said, well, I know now. And then another funny one. There's obviously a writer in Hollywood named Brian Regan, and he wrote the movie 102 Dalmatians, the sequel to 101 Dalmatians. So they call him up and they say, would you like to do an interview with us? He was in town. And they said, sure. They said, we're going to be at this theater. Meet us. He said, okay, I'll be at the theater. Well, we want to put you in front of the 102 Dalmatian poster. And he said, well, okay, I guess. I don't care. He didn't know. He still didn't know. And they start talking to him about the movie, 102 Dalmatians. He's answering questions, but he has no idea that they think he's the writer of the movie. Because he didn't know.
Oh, that's so funny.
And he goes on with his bit, and it's hysterical. And I said, wow, that's pretty good. I don't have their names in front. There were so many women comedians I run as well. I can't think of their names offhand, but There's so many good comedians out there, and I like to laugh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres was a great comic before she got, you know, hosted her own talk show.
Yeah, she was.
Like there's, I mean, yeah, a lot of, I mean, most of the women I knew that really cracked me up went on to become really good writers, too. There's a comic out of Chicago called Carla Felicia, who was just amazing, you know, just really funny. And yeah, Brian, if you haven't checked out, Don, if you haven't heard Brian's I Walked on the Moon routine, you probably have because you're a big fan, but that was something he came out with about 10 or 12 years ago. It was a really funny routine and special.
He does another funny bit about the moon. He goes, you know, since we walked on the moon, when people can't get something to work right, they say, they can't fix a bottle opener, but we are going to put a man on the moon. And every time they can't get something, we can do put a man on the moon, but we can't get the phone to work correctly. He goes, what if we didn't ever put a man on the moon? People would say, oh, the phone doesn't work. All right, we tried. Not the bottle opener doesn't work. We tried. But since we put a man on the moon, everything's compared to that. And he's right. People did.
That's
used to do,
great.
After we walked on the moon, they used to say, we can get a man on the moon, but we can't get this working correctly. And he's right. So I'm
going. That is, yeah, that's funny.
Okay, so I'm going to play a comedy bit from Brian Regan coming up in just a moment here, and we're talking to Pete Schwabba, and you can hear him every night, 7 to 9 o'clock. I had you working extra.
Oh Lord.
7 to 9 o'clock at. you know, when I first started on radio, I was a station janitor at 18 years old, and they eventually put me on the overnight show, rock show, and they said, "Can you do it 7 nights a week from midnight to 6? I said, "Okay." So I was the janitor from 5 to 8. I was overnight from 7 to midnight to 6. And I went to college all day. I was at Hofstra University. I went all day long to college. I didn't sleep. There were days I didn't sleep. But I was 18, 19 years old. And I
figured, this is nothing.
Yeah, I can get away with it.
This is nothing for you. Yeah.
Pete Schwab is with us. It's 729 WRJN. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Stay where you are. Don't move.
I like music, man. That's why I like to go to the airport early, you know? They always play great music. They always have unbelievable sound systems. You get there early, you take advantage of that. You just jam to the best music known to man. Occasionally there's an announcement, but other than that, you're just getting into the music, you know? Yesterday. All my, would the gentleman who left a briefcase at the secured area of Concourse C please return to claim your briefcase? And it seems like all unattended vehicles will be towed away at the owner's expense. Oh, I believe there's been a gate change for flight 207. It'll now be departing out of gate 19. Yesterday.
I love that song. Takes my mind off traveling.
Skipping CD. I love that. All right. Pete Schwab, my guest, 735 WRJN. They don't make CDs like they used to. They don't make CDs at all anymore. Oh, they still do make CDs.
They don't make CDs, yeah.
They still make them a little bit. You can still buy them. Pete Schwab, my guest here, and that was a funny Brian Regan bit, and that's so true, though. You go to the airport, you're listening to a song, right. All of a sudden, well, the person who left the suitcase unattended. You always hear that. That is so funny. We'll talk about some celebrities you've interviewed over the years. Big name celebrities that really, I mean, you were in awe of where you sat there, you know, I can't believe I'm talking to, and you're talking to a big name celebrity and you're sweating because you can't believe you're talking to them. Name some of those people.
Right. Pardon me. As far as interviewing goes, Don, I haven't, until I got on the air, I'm sort of somewhat new to radio, but my interactions have been like with several celebrities, but it's been in kind of a work environment. Like I would write interstitials for, you know, people that were on the air and would work with them that way. Or if I worked with them in a movie, like I cast Tony Goldwyn and Lauren Holly in a film I did years ago called The Godfather of Green Bay. Thomas Lennon was in the movie, Lance Barber, and living in LA for almost 15 years, you know, you see people at the grocery store. I rode an elevator with Chevy Chase once, you know, like
Did you really?
Stuff like that has been most of my... Yeah, I was going to a meeting with my writing partner at the time, Greg Liana, who created the Meet the Parents franchise. We sold some stuff together, and we were meeting at this place. It was actually Wisconsin, a couple Wisconsinites. It was the Zucker Brothers company, and we were meeting with their director of development, and Chevy Chase was going to a meeting there, too. He was probably actually meeting with the Zucker Brothers because he's in a different, he has a different Q rating. But we were riding up in the elevator together, and I said something to him, like probably about the elevator or whatever. I was, you know, he kind of chuckled or whatever. And I said, I don't remember exactly what I said to him, Don, but I said, was that okay? That was better than I love your work, right? And he said, yeah. He said, you could have said you loved me, and that would have made me really nervous. And then I laughed, and I said, well, I do. And then he cracked up. So that kind of made my day. Like, if you could make, like, a comedy legend laugh in a short amount of time,
good.
Like, to me, that would make my day. Like, if I met Albert Brooks in person, I'd probably panic. So there are very few people that I really would get nervous around, but someone like Chevy Chase was kind of one of them just because I grew up with his movies and that kind of stuff, you know.
My favorite Albert Brooks line was in a movie called Modern Romance. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I've seen it probably 20 times. Yeah, it's great.
He's sitting, he's breaking up with his girlfriend for the umpteenth time, and he's in a diner sitting across the table, and he says, you know, our romance is like, it's like a no-win situation. He said, you know what that is, a no-win situation? He goes, no. He goes, you don't know what a no-win situation, it's like Vietnam. And he's comparing his relationship to Vietnam, the war in Vietnam. He said, that was a no-win situation. This is a no-win. I just love the way he compared his girlfriend's romance with like to the Vietnam War. That was so...
It's so great. And the idea that it's Catherine Harold, the beautiful, yes, Catherine Harold, yeah, sitting opposite him, and all he does is look for nitpicky things. Yeah, there's a lot of examples of a no-win situation. Vietnam,
The other beautiful one was Lost in America. I thought that was just genius, that movie, Lost in America. But there's a scene.
Brilliant.
There's a scene in there where he gives up everything in life. He leaves his big job on Madison Avenue. He tells her to quit. We're going to go cash out everything and go touch Indians across America. That's what he says. We're just going to get a mobile home. We're going to travel America. And the first time they land in Las Vegas and they lose, she bets everything and they lose everything. But he winds up, now they got to get jobs. And she's got a job as an assistant manager working at Der Wiener Schnitzel. And he gets to meet the boss. The boss is like 17 years old. And he said, the boss is going to sleep on it tonight. He said, he's going to sleep on it? He's going to tell you if you get your job? He's going to sleep on it? It's a 17-year-old kid. Anyway, Albert Brooks is great. Here are some of the people I got to meet in life here. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, that movie, it's one of my all-time favorite comedies, as well as Real Life. Albert Brooks did Real Life with Charles Grodin, then Modern Romance, then Lost in America. Those three are just perfect movies. But in Lost in America, Bill Murray was actually supposed to play the lead character, but they couldn't get him for 5 years. So Albert Brooks just said, well, I'm going to do this. You know, so it would have been interesting to see how that film, because I think a lot of people who love comedy know that film, but it's not like up there with one of the great, you know, doesn't come to mind as one of the all-time greatest comedies to people who don't really know Albert Brooks that well. You know, it's interesting.
You know, in another, I hate to keep bringing great scenes up, but after she loses everything in Las Vegas, he tries to get the money back from Gary Marshall, who's the head of the Sands Hotel. And he says, we're the bold people. You give us our money because we're the bold people. We're not like those schnooks who come here to see Wayne Newton. And Gary Marshall, I like Wayne Newton. Does that make me a schnook? And he goes, no, I used a bad example. But anyway, so they go out to Hoover Dam because now they're broke. They have nothing. And the camera pans over Hoover Dam, and he goes, who wants to go first, you or me? I love that.
When he goes down to the casino and she's gambling and he's in his bathrobe and he can't find his wife, it's 5 a.m, whatever, and she's playing roulette, and he walks up and he sees her win. And he starts freaking out like, oh my God, she won. And he has no idea. She's lost everything.
The nest.
He starts cheering because she won. Like, his cluelessness is just, that's one of my favorite moments in the whole movie. It's yeah, so great.
I have that not only on VHS, I also have it on DVD. Just in case, you know, every time we move up to, and they make one of my things obsolete, I have to move up and get Lost in America. Here's some of the people I spoke to in life, and some of them were interesting. I'll tell you the worst person I interviewed in a moment. I was sitting in my living room one day, and we're watching TV. My son was there, and my wife was there several years ago. And I get a call, and the call says, "Hi, this is Donny Osmond." And I said, "Who is this? Come on, who is this?" It was Donny Osmond. He was starting a new radio show, a syndicated radio show, and I was the program director here at this. It was at WRJN. And he wanted to know if I wanted to have it on the radio, and we talked for a little while on the air, on the phone. And I said, "Yeah, I just got out." He had just won the Mirrorball Trophy on Dancing with the Stars. We talked about that. And I just had this conversation with Donny Osmond on the phone while I'm watching TV in my living room. Oh, that never happens to me. Then I... I go... This is when I was at my first radio station. I was about 19, 20 years old. They made me the public service director. And this is on Long Island. And I went to a myasthenia gravis... recognition dinner. And myasthenia gravis is obviously a disease, but it was a recognition dinner, and I'm looking at the people sitting at my table, and I see Tony Randall. And I said, "Tony Randall? The guy's got the same name as the actor." And the lady who worked for myasthenia gravis said, that's Tony Randall, the actor. He just got done with The Odd Couple on TV. It just ended. I said, "Tony Randall, the actor? I'm sitting next to him at the dinner table?" And, I, you know, all of a sudden, I go, I'm 19, 20 years old. What am I doing this to Tony Randall? One of the nicest guys. I sat at the table. He asked me about my radio career. And we sat there, and we had a nice dinner together. He was wearing a tux. I was wearing some out-of-date, you know, probably leisure suit. And whatever. But one of the nicest people.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to have met Tony Randall. That's a great one.
So... Mickey Rooney's... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to the... When I first moved to L.A., all my stand-up friends who, you know, kind of welcomed us out there and showed us around and that kind of stuff, they had a game they played. The weirdest celebrity at the weirdest location. And the winner, before we moved there, was Ernest Borgnine in the home furnishings of a Target. So my mother-in-law was visiting, and my wife and my mother-in-law were out running errands, and they were going into Joanne Fabrics in the Valley, in the Valley Village. My wife opens the door, or no, they were walking into the Joanne Fabrics, and someone holds the door for them. They look, it's Mike Tyson. So Mike Tyson, with the crazy tattoo on his face, followed them into Joanne Fabrics. He was there looking for something else, but I told my friends, my wife saw Mike Tyson at Joanne Fabrics, and they were like, "Oh, that's the greatest ever!" Like, someone you'd never expect to see there. So that was really a fun part of living there. But Tony Randall, I would love to have met Tony Randall.
So here's my two Ernest Borgnine stories. The circus parade. We were doing a Christmas thing. I'll tell you that first. We were doing a Christmas thing here at the radio station. I said, "Let's get famous celebrities to wish our listeners Merry Christmas." So I wrote to a whole bunch of people. This is the day of cassettes. I mailed them an audio cassette with postage and everything. All they did, and an envelope, just record our Merry Christmas greeting and send it back to me. We'll use it on the air. The first person that sent it back was Ernest Borgnine. At the time, he was the head clown in the Milwaukee Circus Parade. So he's very familiar with the area. And he he sent this nice greeting on there. And it was wonderful. Cut to several years later, he's making a movie in Burlington, Wisconsin. It's a real low-budget thing. A local guy put it together. And he's out there, and I went with my tape recorder, and I recorded. What are the nicest people? I said to him, I was talking about the different things. I said, "You know, you're such a nice guy. How do you play such a mean guy in the movie Emperor of the North with Lee Marvin?" He played a sadistic train conductor during the Depression. He said, I was a mean person in that one. And he was a mean person in a lot of movies. So we talked, and I said, "This guy is nice. What a nice human being." He took time from the acting on the set to sit down with me. It was outside. And he just had two chairs, and he talked to me as long as I wanted until he finally had to go back to work. Yeah. Another person.
That's great.
Mickey Rooney was in town. This is toward the end of his life. He was in town at Horlick High School in town here to appear in Sugar Babies with his wife at the time, his eighth or ninth wife. And we were told we can go out there and talk to him. Now, all the people that went out there were very young people. They didn't know the difference between Mickey Rooney and Andy Rooney. They just thought, they didn't know. So they said, why don't you talk to him? Because you know him. You know his movies and everything. And we'll just, listen to what you guys say. I said, fine. Another guy who couldn't have been nicer. Mickey, he answered all my questions. We talked about the golden days of Hollywood with Judy Garland. I talked about my favorite Mickey Rooney was It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. I love that picture with him. We talked about he just got done voicing a part on The Simpsons. We mentioned that. But we talked about when he was a child actor, and he's one of the few child actors who actually made it into adulthood and was just as popular as an adult as he was a child. Because he was a member of the Little Rascals at one time. And he just was great.
Oh, that's right.
I love talking to him. At Horlick High School, he was appearing. What do you make of that?
What the heck? Until a minute ago, and here's how early it is for me, Don. Until a minute ago, I was thinking Mickey Rourke, and I'm like, Little Rascals.
Mickey Rooney.
I was like, Mickey Rooney. Okay, yeah.
Gary Sinise was doing a benefit in Kenosha, so I had his phone number to interview him. And when I called him, he said, listen, I'm just heading out to the airport now. Here's my cell phone number. Give me 4 minutes. I'll be out in my car. I guess he was taking a limo to the airport, wherever he was. He said, give me a call in my car and we'll talk for as long as I can get to, takes me to get to the airport. Another great guy. Just talked about everything under the sun. When he got to the airport, I had to hang up with him. But what a great interview. After the break, I'm going to tell you the worst person I ever interviewed. And it's a big, big, big name. This person got on the phone and didn't want to do the interview. She was kind of forced into it. And she gave me all one-word answers.
Beautiful.
I'll tell you who it is coming up in a moment. Pete Schwabba, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock every night, Monday through Friday, on the Civic Media Network and WRJN Radio. You keep it right here. Right now, it's gorgeous sun, the beautiful sun coming up over Lake Michigan, 39 degrees, 749. Civic Media, Old Town Radio Refresh, WRJN at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. Stay where you are.
My favorite holiday is April Fool's Day. And some people try and bring me down and say it's not even a holiday. I think that's the greatest holiday there is because of the way it's structured. Because on April Fool's Day, you play a prank on a friend of yours, and then you yell the name of the holiday at them. You guys feel me on that, right? I don't see why we don't celebrate every holiday like that. Like, who set fire to my mailbox? Happy Valentine's Day! You're the one! That's romance, plain and simple.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way, a girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. 'Cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone.
At WRGN Nightlights, Pete Schwabba, every night, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 o'clock on WRGN and the Civic Media Network. Ever see the movie about Bobby Darin, Pete? It was called Beyond the Sea. Kevin Spacey played Bobby Darin. You ever see that movie?
Oh, yeah. From the 90s, maybe?
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah, I did see it. I did see it. Yeah.
There's a guy who found out.
Another one.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say another guy that, had a pre and post part of his career. Like I listened to Cosby growing up and I idolized him. And then you find out who he became later. And same thing with Kevin Spacey. I loved him as an actor and, he's still a great actor, but you just find out some of the dirt. It's like, oh boy.
Well, the thing with Bobby Darin was here's a guy who found out the woman he thought was his mother his entire life was actually his sister. And it's
imagine
that happening to you. All of a sudden you find out the person you thought was your mother was your sister. Oh, it was a horrible story. Whoa. And he died early because he had rheumatic fever as a kid, and he never recovered from it. I was going to tell you real quickly here, the worst interview I ever did was Carole King. I was supposed to interview
Carole. Oh, really?
Now, here's what happened. She was promoting some kind of charitable event she was associated with. And I don't know if it was early in the morning. I caught her on a bad day. I don't know what it was. So we had the interview set up through her manager or somebody. So I called her up, and I started talking to her. Every answer was, yeah, no. So I said, you know, I grew up, and the Tapestry album, I said, is genius. That Tapestry album is one of the most classic albums of all time. Nothing. She said nothing. And I said, well, let's talk about the event coming up. Yeah, it's Thursday at 8 o'clock, and we're raising money for so-and-so. This was supposed to be a half-hour interview. It was over in 15 minutes. I couldn't get her to say anything. I don't know if she didn't like my persona. I don't know if she. I don't know how. I never spoke to her before in my life. I don't know how she could have not liked me. You know, as Jerry Seinfeld's mother said on the show on Seinfeld.
How could anyone?
How could anybody not like you?
How could anybody not like you? And then his dad said, maybe some people don't like him. I can see that.
I know. And so that's how my mother felt the same way, too. You know, when the kids didn't want to play with me, how can they not want to play with you?
Yeah.
You're such a good kid. Why don't they want to play with you? It's funny you remember that line.
I'm trying to rack my brain for, like, people that I did have a weird experience, like Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post. She and Al Franken used to be on Bill Maher's show when it was called Politically Incorrect. So I was at a movie. I co-wrote a film called A Guy Thing, and my writing partner and I went there, and my wife and I were sitting there, and they sat us next to Arianna Huffington, who was there with her daughter at the time. And I said, you know, she was kind of joined at the hip with Al Franken at the time. Now, I did not knock her socks off with my opening question, but she still just wanted no part of the conversation. I leaned over to her and I said, hey, where's Al Franken? And she just looks at me and she goes, at home. I was like, okay, I guess we're not talking. Nice talking to you. Again, I didn't give her much, but I was sort of like, you know, I hadn't sat next to many celebrities at movie premieres yet, you know.
Another one I had a problem with, it wasn't a problem, but it was Joel Grey, the Tony Award-winning actor and Academy Award-winning actor, Joel Grey.
Oh, yeah.
He was promoting a movie called Man on a String or something like that he made. But I talked to him because I saw him backstage at George M. in 1968 when I was a little kid. My dad brought me to work. My dad had to do something backstage at the Palace Theater in New York City on Broadway. So I got to meet him. I saw him real quickly back there, and I mentioned George M. and I mentioned Cabaret. He didn't want to talk about that. He just blew it away. He said, Man on a String. That's all he wanted to talk about was this new movie that nobody cared about. But I said, you know, Cabaret, when you were you're one of the few people that translated to the movie. Yeah, now Man on the String opens up this Wednesday. He didn't want to talk about it. But what am I going to talk about, Man on the String? It was a nothing movie. And I want to talk about Joel Grey and his career. He won a Tony, an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Didn't want to talk about it. But real quickly, the best. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you go. You're the guest. You go.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think a lot of these celebrities, like, I try not to get too, they're just people, too. Like, they could be having a terrible day. So I try to cut them some slack, but sometimes you just know if someone's a jerk or not, you know.
And Joel, he wasn't a jerk. He just wanted to talk about the movie. That's what he was promoting. And that's yeah, fine, but, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, you can't ignore the fact you won an Oscar and a Tony for the same role. Anyway, the best interview I ever did, real quickly, was a woman named Kitty Hart Moxon.
Sure.
Now, Kitty Hart Moxon was on 2020 with, I think, Diane Sawyer. She was a Holocaust survivor when she was a teenager, spent her entire youth at 5 Nazi concentration camps as a teenager. And she went back with Diane Sawyer to the concentration camps. She was at Auschwitz-Birkenau. She was at Bergen-Belsen. She was at Dachau. She was at all the concentration camps. And so I said, I got to talk to this woman on the air. So I arranged with the owner of the radio station. I'm going to make a call to England, but I'm going to make this 1 hour call. I know it's expensive, but I can't have any commercials in the hour. I can't interrupt it with commercials. It's too important a subject to just, you know, say, hold on. Now, you're in the concentration camp. You're about to go to the chamber. Let's take a commercial break. I don't want to do that. she was the nicest person, and she told me every detail where I was sitting there at the end of the hour exhausted listening to what this woman went through until the Allies got her out of a boxcar.
Oh my gosh.
Someday I'll tell you the whole story. Kitty Hart Moxon, she an amazing interview, the best one I ever did. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, 7 to 9 o'clock on WRJN and the entire Civic Radio Network. Hold on the line a second here. I'm going to be on your program in a week or so, right?
Yeah. We'll talk some more showbiz, and I got Tom Dreesen coming up Wednesday night, so definitely don't miss Tom. He's
funny guy. Funny for one of the best comedians, Tom Dreesen. Funny, funny guy. Pete Schwabba, hold on. Don't go anywhere. I'm Don Rosen, Civic Media, Hometown Radio Refresh, WRJN.